from Sandquist Fields. Broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
It's time to talk softball with the man, the myth, the legend, Duke Weisbrod. And also, what's his name? Chris Fernanda. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome to episode 3 of the Cambridge Isanti Softball Podcast. This is Chris. No Duke tonight, but don't worry, Duke will be back next week. So this episode, we're going to focus on the church tournament that's coming up this weekend. Lots of cover there, so I got a couple guests that'll be joining me in a moment. If you're not interested in the church leagues, if you don't play in it, hey, no worries. I want to be respectful of your time, but you want to come back next week. So next week, we're going to have another episode with Duke. We're going to preview the Tournament of Champions. We're going to review the summer leagues, and there's a ton of player news and news about tournaments that have happened recently that we'll cover, and that will be released on or before August 15th, so be on the lookout for episode 4 for that. And without further ado, we'll get into the upcoming church tournaments. And so I brought a couple guests in here. We've got Nick and Ben Wilson. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, doing good.
Good to be here, Chris. Doing well. Thanks for having us, Chris.
Yeah, no, this will be great. You guys want to introduce yourself and give a little background?
Yeah, so I'm Nick Wilson. Been a long-time member of Cross Point Church, played on the softball team there for a long time. This will actually be my 17th tournament with the adult league. It's been a really fun league to be a part of. I feel like it's not the same when I'm not able to be out there on Tuesday nights playing ball with friends. And I've been a part of Cross Point 1 for the beginning years, for a number of years, and then I went and coached Cross Point number three, and then we kind of became number two because number two folded, and we made a run through Division Two, all the way up back into Division One, and then recently our team from Division One got bumped down to Division Two, so I'm joined back up with the Team One. So a lot of the guys that I played with 7-8 years ago are still there, and yeah, we've had a really, really fun group, had a lot of fun times, and gotten to know people through the team. And excited to be on this podcast to talk about the upcoming Damsel annual tournament.
Ben Wilson, and I'm with North Isanti Baptist. And this will be my 12th tournament, coaching and playing for North Isanti. We've had 10 of those years in Division One, and then this is our second year in D2, kind of ping-pong back and forth each of the last 4 years. It's been a lot of fun. I got into the league recommendations from both my brother Nick and also my brother Bobby. At the time, I was doing a lot of baseball umpiring, and my second oldest daughter, Sienna, had recently been diagnosed with leukemia, and we just needed a break from, I couldn't do the umpiring anymore, kind of took a break from that. And this was really, you know, the Tuesday night church softball was really a nice safe haven to get away from the hospital and all the, you know, all the stuff that went along with that cancer battle. Mm-hmm. And it was a really real cool story I'll share real quickly. The first night that I was doing it, I was coaching, playing. We were playing the old Grace Gospel squad. Curtis Larson was actually the coach, a longtime friend of ours from school. And they passed a plate around that night, a baseball cap as a plate, and it was exactly the same amount of money that I would earn umpiring a 7-inning baseball game. So it was a sign from God that I was in the right spot and right exactly where he wanted me to be, you know, in a great environment. And I haven't looked back since. It's been a lot of fun. I'm kind of coordinating our entire softball program at North Isanti. We've got three teams in the adult league, two Division Twos and one Division Three, and we've also got two teams over in the youth league, and looking forward to a great tournament, and I'll talk more about our team specifically you know, as we go on here. But thanks a lot for having us, Chris.
Yeah, that's a really great story. I was just gonna, when you're talking about your daughter and stuff and just the camaraderie with other teams, that's one thing I really love about the league as well, is yeah, we're all competing, but it's, you know, all great. It's a great environment. We're all, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's just a really unique atmosphere.
It's like a big family reunion, guys. Each year, you know, my wife gives me a hard time because she said, man, every year you run into somebody different you haven't seen in 4, 5, 6 years. And it's just, there's no event quite like it. I don't believe in our state really that, you know, where you have, gosh, 28 teams, you know, like you say, brothers and sisters in Christ, and everybody's just out there to, you know, to a fellowship, and really looking forward to the upcoming weekend, you guys, with all of you guys. So,
absolutely.
For sure. So we're going to preview the tournament, of course. We're going to recap the kids' tournament, which just occurred today. That's why my voice is raspy. I pretty much lost it today. It was a lot of fun, and we'll talk about that in a moment. First, a couple items we want to cover really quick. There's the Berean Baptist tournament around a month ago down in Shakopee, and the Damsel League was well represented there. So Refuge put together a team. So Ryan Acker put together his team with a bunch of other guys from different teams in our league. And I'll just kind of name them here really quick. So we had Ryan Acker, Jake Movid, Seth and Sam Leaf, Caleb Bebo, Graham Olson, Josh Wickland, Matt Moline, Tom Reby, Brian McConville, Logan Goldsmith, and my son Nick Vananda. So I believe there's five different churches represented. They're all wearing their church jerseys from our league, so it was really cool to see. These guys played awesome. I forget the exact number of teams, but over 20, and they went 4-1 during the tournament. Their only loss during the tournament was against Wooddale, who ended up making it to the championship game, and most of their games were not close. These guys, I think, lost 16-10. We're down 2 going into the last inning, so they played really well. And I want to call out Tom Reby in particular. One of their games, they ended up winning, I believe, 4-3. And in that game, Tom Reby robbed a grand slam with 2 outs. So that was really the play of the tournament that I saw, and was got standing ovation from the other team. I mean, it was awesome play, clutch play. So that was that was really awesome. Matt Moline, Seth Leaf both pitched great. Seth hit a bunch of home runs. I think Ryan Acker had several home runs. Matt Moline, I believe, had a couple in the park home runs. So they played really awesome. It was great to see, and they represented our league well.
Which church is Tom Reby involved with there?
I believe Refuge, and I apologize if I get that wrong because I don't know Tom. I didn't know him before this, but I'm pretty certain he's from Ryan's team. So.
Very nice.
And at any rate, they end up getting consolation champions in the top tier. And I think they arguably were the second or third best team there, just with the way the tournament was scheduled. They won their first 2 games to get in the top tier. They lost to, Wooddale, the first game in the top tier, and then won every game after that. So did quite well. It was a great tournament, and recommend other teams from our league look at joining that.
Yeah, we've been playing in that tournament for a long, long time. My brother-in-law, Matt Bramer, and his dad, my father-in-law, Jim Bramer, had been playing in that tournament for 25 years in a row. And they put a team together, and I was kind of one of their extras for many years, and eventually got Bobby into it. And then eventually Bobby Wilson, our younger brother, and he ended up taking over the reins of the team. Matt kind of turned it over to him, and so we've kind of had, it's actually one of the few times that the four of us brothers get to compete together each year. We didn't play it in this year for a few different reasons, but it's been a good tournament over the years.
All right, next thing I'd like to do is just, if you guys haven't heard, Alan Goldsmith, who's been the league director for, I believe, the last 7 years. Is that correct, Ben?
I believe it's 7, the last I heard from Alan. Yes, I believe that's correct.
All right. So at any rate, Alan is resigning as league director, and he served our league for the past 7 years. So we just wanted to thank him for everything he's done. He's really improved the leagues over the years. He's left them in a better spot than they were before he took over. And I think, Ben, you had some additional context to what he's done.
Yeah, Alan has, been a great leader for our league. Obviously, you heard by the numbers of years that we've all been in the league. We were around for the previous regime, and nothing against anybody before him or whatever. But Alan jumped in with a partner. The two of them kind of jumped in together, and that gentleman, you know, was around for a couple of years, but for the last, you know, number of years, or at least 3 or 4 years there, it was Alan was kind of running it on his own. And he was looking for an extra hand. I've jumped in to kind of help him on some of the scheduling things. I enjoy that part of it and some of the player conflict types of things. But he's really been, you know, running a one-man ship here. And it's been, as the league has grown, obviously there becomes more challenges. And as the youth league also has grown up to 9 teams now, you know, it's been a lot. It's been Monday and Tuesday. And I know you know this, Chris. He coaches the adult and the youth, and you know, directing both of those. So, I think it's a time that some of us other folks that are passionate about the league, you know, take a little more ownership. Whether that be splitting the league into, you know, different directors in terms of youth and adult. Maybe we have a D1 director, a D2, a D3 that kind of is overseen. There's some different ideas being floated around. But I think we're all very grateful for Alan's leadership. He's such a calming force, calming influence. You know, everything's going crazy around him, and he's just kind of that calm sailor, you know, on the sea. So he keeps the ship going, and really appreciate, you know, the time that I've gotten to know him, and, you know, really wish him the best, but also want to see the league continue at a high level. So that's what I got to say there.
As we mentioned, the kids tournament was today, and it was awesome. I've been involved in the kids league for 9-10 years now. I'm not exactly sure how long. I've kind of lost track of time, but just got to say, this is probably the most balanced the league has ever been. And I believe it's the most teams we've had. And I know we've had other years with 9 teams, but I don't think we've ever had more than 9 teams since I've been involved in it. And if you look at the brackets today, I mean, anything can happen. So first off, First Baptist Church, congratulations to them. They were the champions today. And they were the 7th seed. 7th seeded out of 9 teams. They knocked off Cambridge Lutheran in the first round, who was the 2nd seed. Then they lost, so Alan and I coached New Hope. We won a close game against First B in the 2nd round. And then First B went to the loser's bracket and went all the way through, made it back to the championship, faced us, and then double-dipped us. First game was 7-6, very close game. The second game, a little more in favor of them. I believe it was 15-9, they won by 6. Great team, and I should also point out they had 9 players only. So can you imagine how gassed you'd get playing all those games with 9 players, no subs, no breaks? They played really good, so it was a fun tournament. So as I said, First B won first, New Hope won second, Carmel won third place, and then North Iceni Red won consolation. And the atmosphere was incredible. Tons of fans there. People were watching other games. Very loud. I mean, it was just a great atmosphere. I wish everyone could have seen it. It's just great for the game of softball. And one thing I want to say as well is, after the game, listening to the First Baptist coach talk to their players, it sounds like almost all or most of their players had not played softball before this year. So it's a really great introduction to the game, playing in this league. So really great day.
Incredible. That's wonderful. Chris, you were mentioning earlier that your championship game came right down to the end.
Yeah, the first game we played them, they won 7-6. We had the tying run at third base in the bottom of the 7th, and they ended up hanging on and winning. And then the second game was a back-and-forth game for a while. They got up by 3. I think it was 12-9 going into the top of the 7th. They had, a 3-run home run to take the lead 15-9, and that ended up being the final score. So just a fun game, and good sportsmanship all day with all teams, and you just see all the friendships with players on different teams. So just a great atmosphere for our kids.
Chris, is it true this is the first year that they've ever had a youth team?
No, but it is the first time they've had one in a couple years. So they used to have a youth team. I know they didn't last year. I can't remember if they... you know, if it's been 2 or 3 years, but yeah, they haven't had one recently. Another thing I would just point out is several churches now have 2 teams, so both North Isani and Cross Point have two teams, and that's great. That's really great for the league, and showing the game has really grown here.
Yeah, I was going to ask Chris, what's the composition in terms of number of players on these youth teams now? Are they still running really, really high, or are they keeping it more on the 12, 13, 14 players, or how are they?
Our team had 17 players. I think we had the most, but there are several other teams that had 15, maybe more. Actually, I seem to recall earlier in the season, Cambridge Lutheran probably had around 20, I want to say, which is obviously quite a bit. First B had 9 today. Carmel didn't have too many. So some of the teams were smaller, but you have quite a big variety. I think the North Isani teams and Cross Point teams both have quite a few players, and there's two teams, so.
Wonderful. Yeah, I know the North Isani squad, we've been discussing a possible addition of a third youth team next year. That's been a heavy, heavy discussion. I think it's really going to come down to a matter of having a coach that's willing to do that. So, yeah, it's exciting.
That's really key. Yeah, that's really key. I'm glad you said that about needing coaches. So that's definitely a need I've seen in this league is coaches. And you don't have to be, have coaching experience to be a coach in this league. You just have to be willing to spend the time, run a few practices, be there for the games, coordinate stuff like ordering jerseys and whatever else. But there's definitely players out there. They just need a coach. I know that at our church, New Hope, we could have had a couple teams in years past. We just didn't have coaches for them. So that's definitely a need. I know a lot of players are listening to this that are adults. And so if you ever have an interest, just speak up. There's definitely a need, and we can put you to work, and we'd love to have you.
Absolutely. That's a great plug. For me, when I think about the youth tournament and Cross Point, we've got a gentleman down there in the youth league that's looking, he's going to be looking to make Cross Point history next year. We've never, in all the years of Cross Point softball, we've never had a player go from playing youth ball 1 year to playing on the Division One top team the next year, and that may happen. Hopefully,
is that Caden Richardson?
That is young Bagels, Caden Richardson. So hopefully he's listening to the podcast, and hopefully he's ready to make history next year because he's ready for D1. So we're hoping to make that leap for Caden. That has never happened.
All right, so want to take a moment and just thank a couple sponsors here. So first off, First Bank and Trust, they've been a huge sponsor of our teams and players at Sandquist. So Billboard, of course, they sponsor tons of teams. Even my fall league team that I'm playing on, it's not a First Bank and Trust team, but they're helping us out and sponsoring our team. So really appreciate that. Of course, Alan Goldsmith, as you all probably know, works there. So I just want to plug him. If you have any commercial loans needs, so if you own a business and need any financing for anything along those lines, consider giving Alan a call at 763-691-7116. Or, as most people, might need a mortgage in their life, consider giving Ryan Lindeen a call at 763-691-7119. And then
Chris, I'd like to give a shout-out on that as well. First Bank and Trust has done the loan for our church expansion out at Cross Point. As many people know, we are adding on to our church, building on, adding a lot more space, a sanctuary. Hopefully, eventually, it turns into a youth area, but a youth room as well. And a lot of cool expansion going on and growth out at Cross Point. And First Bank has been integral in that, working with us on that loan, and we really appreciate those guys, Alan, and especially all he does for the community too. I know he's got that St. Paul Saints thing going on again this year, and really appreciate Alan and his bank and their dedication to the community here in the Cambridge area. So, and hey, shout out to Ryan Lundeen, former of First Baptist lore, championship lore, and some of those dynasty teams for First Baptist. So, yes, wonderful.
Yeah, actually, as an aside, I remember my first or second year playing it for New Hope. We were a Division II team, and there ended up being an extra week available at the end of the season. so you could kind of schedule a rivalry game. And I think they had a couple gals on their team for First B that used to play for New Hope the year before. And we played against them. And I think Ryan was playing for them, or he was. I forget what position he was. But we thought we were going to beat them. But no, we lost like 17 to nothing. And I got thrown out at second base to end the game, I believe. So, but good times, good times.
Yeah, great player, great player.
Then I'd like to, if it's okay with you guys, give a shout out to Wilson Tree Farm. You guys, of course, have been a longtime sponsor at Sandquist, Billboard. Tons of teams have their have your logo on their jerseys, so you've been really vital to helping teams play. And I noticed on the there's a plaque by the concessions thanking people who helped get Sandquist up and running, and Wilson Tree Farms is on there. So thank you guys for all the support over the years as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Pleasure to do it. You know, our brother Bobby, as many of you are know who are listening on the podcast, is very involved in numerous leagues up there. Nick and I just get to partake in the Tuesday night church league at this point, but Bobby's very involved and very tied in with the softball community up there, and it's a great community. He's helped Duke out with the trees. You know, all the trees up there were recently planted by him, and I know he helped them guys out and give them a great price. Most of it, I believe, donated, actually. So, yeah, we happy to do it. You need shade when you're playing ball and it's hot out in the summer. You need to drink water, but you need shade, too. So that's where we come in. So happy to do it.
All right, so coming up next weekend, by the time you listen to this show, it'll be the coming weekend, is our adult tournaments. So the tournaments will run Friday night, August 11th, through Sunday, August 13th. All the games are going to be at Sandquist. Before we get into the nitty-gritty here, just want everyone to know that Sandquist is a great partner. So Duke and everyone at the association there are just great, a great partner for our leagues. How we can thank them, there's two different things that I'd like to point out. First off is let's keep the park clean. So after your games, please clear out the dugout. Make sure all your trash gets in the trash cans, etc. Let's just respect the park and take care of it. Second, please support the concession stands if you need water, Gatorade, something to eat. Please consider using the concession stand. And then, unlike during the season, we're going to have actual umps for the tournament. So just ask everyone to please demonstrate good sportsmanship and respect towards them. A couple other items for housekeeping. So we're going to talk, you know, times of games, possible seedings, etc. Just know that the final seedings are dependent upon Tuesday's final games. So there's still some seedings to be determined, and those will be based on the final standings, of course, and that won't be until those games are done. And then the brackets, once they're official, will be posted on the website, doublearea.msl.com, and published on Facebook, etc. So you'll see them. And then lastly, before your games, the first games especially, or at least, arrive early for the bat check. All bats need to be checked by the tournament staff, verify they're legal, and I believe they'll stamp them or put a sticker on them or something to show that they've been checked. So that's very critical that we all make sure we do that.
The other thing I would add is that looking at the schedule, everybody's going to play Friday night unless they have a first-round bye. So looks like all three divisions will kick off at some point Friday night. We're going to get into the specifics of that as we go forward, but just plan on playing Friday night unless you have a bye. And in divisions 1 and 2, nobody's got a bye because there's 8 teams. So as the way that's said, that should be a pretty clean division, barring anybody that, you know, doesn't show up or anything like that. So
yeah, and then the home run derby, that is Saturday night, is that correct?
Yeah, the home run derby, you know, that's always been a thing that people want to see and players want to, you know, be involved in. But it's always a struggle, right? Because, you know, when it's on Sunday afternoon, what are the best players doing? Well, they're playing in those championship rounds, and all of a sudden now they got to go hitting a home run derby. They either don't want to do it because they don't want to use up all their swings before the big game, or they're worn out afterwards. So what we decided to do this year with the addition of that fifth field allows us to get more games in quicker. And actually Saturday night, we'll have to look at the time slot here, but I believe it's that 8:30 time window. We will be able to have the Home Run Derby. There's only one other game going on, and I believe it's like a loser's bracket game. It's either, I think it's D3 because, you know, D3 having the 12 teams. So it'll allow, you know, for 99% of the league to be involved in that, and it'll be under the lights. Really nice to showcase that Home Run Derby. So hopefully we get some really good involvement in that, you know, the days of Jim Tibbetts out of Oxlip going to head-to-head with Bobby Wilson from Cross
Tibbetts.
Those are some fun times, and it'd be fun to rekindle some of that. So,
yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, I'm excited to have it under the lights and have more people in it and watching it. I watched it last year. Seth Leaf won it. But there wasn't a lot of people there or in it, and it just seemed like this needs to be prime time, so I'm really glad to see it moved to Saturday night.
Absolutely.
So that'll be awesome.
Absolutely.
If someone's interested in doing that, how do they sign up? They just reach out to the commissioners, or is there a sign up at the tournament?
You know, I think in the past it's just been sign up at the tournament. Alan has usually put one person in charge, and maybe Seth Leaf is that guy. I'm not sure if he's in charge, but one person will be kind of the point person, and there is a cost to doing it. I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's been $5 in the past,
hats off to you guys for making that work, because setting aside that time, like you say, of getting more games in quicker, and hats off for the scheduling people for making that happen.
Yeah, and one slight change we made in the scheduling, too. So I'm looking at the schedule here. 8 o'clock is when the Home Run Derby is. One slight change from last year. So last year, I really wanted Alan to, you know, I made it known to Alan. I said, hey, Alan, you know, let's offset these championship games, because the year prior is the year that Crosspoint had that great finish with the Rock. Well, our team was playing against Cambridge Lutheran in the D2 championship. Our game ended by the time I looked over there, and we won. Their game was over. So I said, man, it'd be fun to have these games offset a little bit. So we did that. We were allowed, he was able to do that. And he actually moved the D1 championship to Saturday night. So it finished. Well, I don't know if that was the answer either, because then D1 didn't come back Sunday. So the way it's going to be set this year is all three divisions are going to end on Sunday, but the start times of those championship games are going to be 1 hour apart. And I like the 1 hour part because it's not a full, you know, it's not a full hour and a half, so you're going to be able to catch for sure parts of every game. You know, so it's a noon start for the D, and it's also going to be moving from D3 to D1. So you got D3 starting at noon, the D2 will be starting at 1 o'clock, and then the D3 will be starting at 2. Of course, there is a potential of a double dip, you know, where they'd have to play a second game, but at least this way, you know, we know that you're going to get a chance to get your eyes on each of those championship games if you'd like to.
I really like what you guys are doing there. I think one thing that's unique and sets the Damsel League apart from a men's league or from even, you know, women's league up at the complex is people do enjoy watching friends and family from other churches, but also from their church on a different team. And you don't get to see those people play during the season because everybody plays on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock, and so I think the tournament is a fun time to do that. So hats off to you guys, Jorman and Alan, for making those scheduling moves. It's always easier to keep the status quo, but sometimes when stuff needs to change to make things better, looks like you guys have done that with making those championship games accessible for all. So.
Well, I really appreciate that, and hats off to Alan for being a leader that's, you know, willing to take suggestions and say, yeah, you know, that makes sense, and let's go for it. And also hats off to Duke and the Sandquist community for continuing to add fields, because without those additional fields, that wouldn't be possible. I mean, we keep adding teams. We had, I don't know, I want to say 5 or 6 new teams again this year, and so by adding those teams, we need new fields, and That might lead into our next conversation. I know at some point we're going to talk about the potential of a Crosspoint second field here. So
yes.
That's exciting, but that's to come. So,
without further ado, we can get into these different divisions and kind of preview the tournaments. So we'll start off here in Division 1, and I just had a couple observations here, and then I'll kick it around to you guys for your thoughts and analysis here. So it's really unique this year with how the standings are. So there's eight teams. Five of the eight teams are either 9-4 or 10-3. So all their losses are against each other. Most of those games have been very close. There's been numerous one-run games between those teams, so they're very, very competitive and balanced. So right now, the way it stands, Carmel has won five straight, including in that streak wins over Cross Point 1, Rock and Refuge, who are three of the teams that are in this top five. If they win this week versus Eagle Brook, they've locked up the number one seed.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Pastor Jason Holvis. I don't know if he's going to be able to hear this podcast, but Pastor up at Carmel, I understand they are headed over to, I believe, Panama for a missions trip. So a shout out to Pastor Holvis. I know that's a big part as to why they only had one team this year. So, you know, a lot of the Carmel family is heading over there. They'll be missed at the tournament, but it sounds like Matt Moline and company just keep on keeping on. No matter who's on the squad there, it looks like.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I've known we played Carmel this last week, and it is one of the few games that I was able to make this year. And yes, Matty Moline is there. It's a lot of familiar faces again with Carmel, but he's missing some of the folks that have joined up with his team over the last 3 to 5 years as well because of the missions trip, as well as the fact of, you know, when you're merging two teams down to one, you don't have room for everybody. So he's done a nice job organizing that, coordinating, working through that, because that's not easy to figure out who gets to play, who doesn't, trying to manage all that. So Matt, on top of being the coach, also being the pitcher, he was on his A game Tuesday night. I can tell you we lost a one-run game. We didn't lose because of Carmel's bats. We didn't lose because of Carmel's fielding. It was Matty Moline and a couple errors on our field, and our hitting just could not hit off of Matty real consistent. And he's got that team humming. He looks a lot like a younger version of dare I say the Dark Knight, throwing that sky ball, but it's coming off
Bruce Wayne. It's coming out of that cave.
The one difference is we did get to see it Tuesday night, which is nice. Some of our bigger hitters struggled. Some of our bigger hitters took their lumps. Some guys hit really well off of them. But I think anytime you can get an extra visual and an extra swing against it, it helps in the long run. Hopefully it'll carry into the tournament for Cross Point 1. I think Carmel's definitely going to be a team to beat. I think Matty Moline's going to make sure of that. I don't think they've got as much room for error as they've had in the past. I don't think they have a team that's going to score quite as many runs as they did last year. But when they got the pitching and they got the defense, they're going to be in every game. And I think Rock is kind of the same story, same song, different verse. Clint Lundin coming back. Everybody knows the Dark Knight. It's his time to show up, and it's his time to make people look silly. You know, it's hard to make some of the better hitters in the Division I Damsel League look silly, but Lundin's done it many a times, and it'll be a fun tournament, though. As I was mentioning to you guys earlier, when you win the tournament, that's great. When you win a couple games, that's great. It's all fun, but when you beat Lundin, that means something different. It's a different level of intensity when he's there. It feels like a championship if he can get through him and get it. So I know the Cross Point team is going to be fired up. I know Carmel is going to be ready to go and fired up. Two of the other teams in that top five, Vananda, you know the one team very well because you're a part of that team with the New Hope group. You guys have done your thing too this year, and looking pretty dominant there in a lot of the games. Probably a consistency thing. If you guys can pull your bats together consistently, you guys are going to be right there as well. And the Refuge, many people think they are the team to beat if they get their thing going as well. So it's fun to see
some old faces, some teams that have been in there now, between Cross Point, Carmel, and Rock. You've got a lot of history there. You've got, you know, three of the top four or five teams, you know, every year in the league. And then you've got the two newcomers with New Hope sliding in there. And then Refuge. Hopefully, I was visiting with somebody about Refuge. Actually, it was Logan Goldsmith about the Refuge team the other day. I'm just asking questions, but hopefully it'll be fun to see what Refuge does with their team over the next few years. And hopefully they can, you know, the Refuge group can stick together and be another solid team in this league for years to come.
Yeah, I was going to jump in real quick. You know, as somebody that played in Division I and coached in Division I numerous years, but haven't actually witnessed a Division I game this year. So I'm looking at the standings here, guys. And a couple of things are jumping out of me, and maybe the two of you can help answer these questions that I have on this. You know, obviously you made the point, five teams very strong. I mean, I'm talking very, very strong. Mm-hmm. 9-4, I'm better. I mean, there's been many years where 9-4 wins the league, you know, and New Hope sitting fifth there. But the thing that really jumps out at me is the run differential. Mm-hmm. I'm coming down here. I'm looking at the Refuge with a 90 run differential, with a 9-4 record. You know, wondering, are they beating up on some of the, you know, bottom teams, and they're losing close games. And to me, I'm thinking maybe that's a young thing. That's a young guys, maybe making base running errors, you know, getting thrown out at third to end the game, those types of things. And then I'm seeing the same thing down with New Hope, 78 run differential at 9-4, Cross Point also with an 85. But then I noticed the two smaller ones, the Rock, a 15 run differential, in Carmel, and again, both of those two were just mentioned with the really good strong pitching. So I'm assuming based on that they're winning a lot of really close games. Tell me where I went wrong here, gentlemen.
I'll let Chris speak to the New Hope side because I don't know that, but I can speak to Carmel. From what I saw this last week and visiting with Matt Moline, yes, they've won a lot of close games early in the season. Some of their younger guys were improving quite a bit, let's say in the outfield maybe, and defense and whatnot. So they've improved. But, yep, I think you nailed it on the head there, Jarman. I think it's a pitching thing that's been pulling them through. It's a lot of tight games. That, like I say, the margin of error for Carmel as well as Rock is tighter than it's been. Lundin's used to winning close games. I mean, he's probably had more games won in the tournament with his team scoring five runs or less than anyone ever. I think Moline might be looking to do something similar this year. I can't speak to New Hope though. I'm not sure what's going on there with the story there.
Yeah, well, our run differential is 78, which is one of the better ones in the league. Most of our games have been pretty close, I would say. We've had a couple where we've won quite handily. Those, you know, I'll say, so we beat Carmel once. We're 2-0 against Carmel, but one of the games we won quite handily, but I think they were a little shorthanded that night. So I don't think that was indicative of, you know, quality of the team or anything like that. But that helps our run differential, of course. And I know we played Oxlip the first time this year, and they were shorthanded as well. We've had some other ones that we 15 run and stuff, but nothing crazy. We've had a lot of close games as well. Some of our losses have been very close. So I think we only had one game where we got beat pretty bad. That was against Rock earlier this year, and that was, I think we had 9 players that night. Several of us weren't there because we had an event a bunch of our team was at. So overall, I think a very solid team, but I think the run differential really doesn't paint a picture of the consistency of the team, really, just because of the different scenarios they kind of laid out.
Yeah.
And can you talk to Rock too.
I was just going to talk to Rock really quick. Their run differential is only 15, despite the 9-4 record. But they've had a kind of a rough little patch here where they, I think they were also short some players and whatnot. So I think if you were to go back in time, you know, a month ago, I think their run differential probably was a bit higher than it is now. So I think their 15-run differential is really not indicative of the quality of their team at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they've got, you know, some players over the years that have, you know, not made quite as many games you know, during the season, probably as some of the other teams. I know most of the Cross Point teams have been very faithful. Obviously, there's been some folks that have missed a game here or there. I have not been a consistent player, but we've had a core of about 10, 11 players that have been very consistent. Whereas I think, yeah, definitely Rock. They've got some folks that are gearing up for the tourney, so we should see their best foot.
Talk to me about this Refuge number one team, guys. Bring me up to speed there. What are you seeing?
I can tell you what I know. We did play them. We did beat them a couple weeks ago, but it was only a one-run win. We got ahead by 5 or 6, I believe. They came back in the last inning and mounted a rally. They were missing a gal that night who I have been told is a very good player. They actually only had the one lady in the lineup, so they had the automatic out every time that second time spot came up. So that definitely could have changed things in terms of how that game would have laid out through the middle innings there for sure. You know, when you only have to get two outs in an inning, that makes life a lot easier. But they have some very nice players. They've got the big headliner for them, I think, is their coach, Ryan Acker, I believe his name is. Definitely can hit the ball a long way. He's definitely a big hitter. He's been playing in the men's league in the area for a number of years, and he's as big of a, I mean, if you're talking your home run derby, I'm sure he's going to be right there. So he's a big hitter for them. They've got some really nice outfield play. They've got some nice players. Like I say, they've got a lady that's supposed to be a very nice gal.
Yeah, I believe that's Livy Olson, I believe.
Okay, that's the name.
She plays on Misfits, I believe, in the women's league.
Okay. Hey, Chris, I got a question for you real quick on the new home squad there. I understand you guys added a couple of real nice pieces this year with Anthony Leschardone and Kelly Pedersen. You want to talk how they've transitioned into your guys' group?
Oh, they've been awesome. So I've actually never heard Anthony's last name said out loud before, so I'm glad you did that. I just know him as Leschardone.
That's hilarious. Yeah, Anthony, a little history. Anthony got his start in our league as a 16-year-old. I'll tell the story real quick. Him and his twin brother, Alex, I didn't even want him on the team. I don't know if they even know this story, but Jeff Bonkoski was on our team at North Isani at that time, and we were short girls, you know, as many of us have gone through those stages over the years. And he said, well, I got this girl, you know, from the Christian school, Michaela Leschardone, and, you know, sure I can get her to play. And I said, well, let's bring her in. He goes, well, there's one catch. I said, what's the catch? He said, she's got two younger brothers, 16-year-old boys, and I'm sure it's a package deal. And I kind of hemmed and hawed, and I said, let's give it a go. And boy, it didn't take long. I was real thankful that we made that move. So yeah, we got a lot of experience with those guys. Had a lot of fun with North over the years. Coached them and played with them for many a games. We made it to the championship round three separate times with those guys. So you know, part of me wants to see those boys cross the finish line. And New Hope was kind of my preseason pick here, but I have not seen any of this play out. So I'm really excited to see such an even, top five here. It could be anybody's game.
Yeah, so yeah. Ant has kind of helped us. He's been our pitcher all season. So that's helped us move Sam Leaf to other positions. He's typically in the outfield, so that's been a huge help. And then Kelly's been playing second base, and she's awesome. I didn't realize the arm she had, and I told her this the other night. I was watching her game in the women's league on Wednesday night, and she was playing shortstop, and she has a gun. I mean, she can gun it. And I was just shocked at how good of an arm she has, because playing second base, the throws are shorter, so you don't really have a need to gun it like that. So I was really impressed. She's an incredible player, and she played softball at Northwestern. I believe it was Northwestern.
Yeah, she's a heck of a player and a great hitter.
So they've been a great addition to the team. And we talked about the home run derby earlier. Ant, I believe it was him, made it to the finals against Seth last year. As I say that, I don't know if it was him or his brother, because I honestly didn't know there was twins until late last year. We were playing, I think, Oxlip, and I saw both of them there. I'm like, what the heck? I didn't know there was two of them.
So you didn't I probably even know there were twins on this podcast with you, did you?
Yes.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah, I didn't know you guys were twins until like the
Chris, you're a little slow to the party, brother. You're a little slow.
Come on, Chris. You gotta respect the twins, man.
No, I can see it now. I had no idea. I knew you guys were brothers. I did not know you were twins. So.
I love it.
Yeah, I understand Alex is not playing this year. Is that right?
I have not seen him play this year, nope.
As far as speaking to the league and the tournament, hopefully it'll be a really fun tournament as it always is, and I'm excited to run into some of these teams that I have not played this year, namely Rock. I've heard my old friend Kenny Sands is playing with the Rock this year, which out of all the years I've played softball, he was at the beginning. He was there with Cross Point One. Obviously, got quite a history there with Kenny, longtime family friend. My kids are good friends with theirs. Our wives are good friends. It'll be fun to see Kenny with a different jersey on. I hear James Klimek is rolling with them as well. So long time.
Yeah, both James. Wow. James and Mary. Yep.
Long time. Oh, yeah, and Mary as well. Yes, long time Grace Gospel coach and player. Obviously, that those two add quite a bit to what Rock's got going on. So Rock is more of a hodgepodge of a free agent group of players from the way it sounds, and they're just
sounds like the Miami Heat super team, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
So is that Kenny, Chris Bosh going to South Beach or what?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So that is one thing that's interesting about the league, that there are some people that float around and enjoy playing in the league, and if their team folds or doesn't have enough to stay in Division One, people seem to find a home elsewhere. I recognized Levi, who used to play with the Oxlip squad for a number of years. He's with Refuge this year, I believe. Neat core that we've had at Cross Point for, you know, at least the last 13, 14 years. I was a part of the early squad, and fun to be back with these guys, but they've really put something together there, and I think the experts might be going different directions with that, but I think you're going to want to watch out for Bobby on the Hill, and obviously Dan Morin, among others, Packy Lynn playing shortstop, and you've got a really strong team. As long as they can hit off the high ball, I think they're going to be right there at the finish as well. So
you mentioned guys that haven't played for their teams, but one little asterisk there is Bobby Wilson, young Bobby Wilson, played his youth ball over at North Isani for me. And also shout out to James Klimek. James Klimek was our left fielder on some championship teams at North Isani as well. So, and we're going to get to D2 in a little bit, but one guy that resurfaced from the D1 to the D2, another former North Isani player is one Luke Snell. So he's resurfaced in D2 as a real nice pitcher for North Isani too. And he's kind of brought the high ball into D2. So it's been fun to see, like you say, some of these guys resurface and get in the right fit, whether a team folded or whether it wasn't the right mix or what have you. In case of a guy like Luke Snell, like I told him and his father Jim, it's a prodigal son come home. You know, so he's a he's a North Isani boy. That's his dad. Shout out Jim Snell. Jim Snell was the men's coach at North Isani for the 15, 20, 25 years before I arrived. So, it was tough seeing him in an Oxlip jersey all those years, but glad to see he's back on the right side of things. So shout out to you.
I noticed he's, I saw him the other night, and he still has the Oxlip lime green Zubas going, though.
yes, he does. Good call.
Those aren't North Isani there. Those are not North Isani.
No.
So before we wrap up Division One, we mentioned the seedings aren't final yet. There is a big game this week, Refuge versus New Hope, that'll have some implications, that's a tongue twister, on the final seedings. Looking at the bracket here, so as we mentioned, everyone's going to play Friday night. So there's one game, 1-8, Friday at 6 p.m. The other three games are all at 7:30. So be ready to play then. And then the following games, looks like they're all going to be Saturday morning. As of right now, it's 11 a.m., but that might change a bit. So, again, check the final brackets on the website or on Facebook or at the complex, of course. But that's the way it's looking so far.
Hey, Chris, I do notice that I like the look of this bracket with the double elimination. I know there was a three-game guarantee for a few years. Glad to see that has been kicked to the curb. I love the idea of the toilet bowl. Ben's team, Ben's church, and my church actually matched up in the toilet bowl of Division One last year, which is right where we belonged, and that's just the way it should be.
Hey, tell them how it finished. Tell them how it finished.
I don't want to talk about the finish. I don't want to talk about
the finish. Yeah, we walked them off.
He had to go there.
It was a toilet bowl walk-off, so
he had to go there. But I think the idea of the whole three-game guarantee, let's keep that team that's already lost two in the play, all it did was muddy up the losers bracket of the tournament. I like this. I like the double elimination. Give those two teams a third game, but it's just the toilet bowl. That's what it is.
Yep.
So I like that. I like that. As a team that's been in that toilet bowl more than two or three times, I like it.
Yep.
No, I think that's a good idea. I think a few years back there was an extra consolation round typically on Sundays, and I think it was a struggle to get some of the teams to always show up for that. So I think this is a good option here.
Yep. And have it right. I like how it's right after or closely after that team's second game. Mm-hmm. That way they're there. There's not enough time to run away and lose all your players. Just get that toilet bowl game in and be done with it. So I
absolutely.
Like it. Hey, Chris, before you jump into D2, you guys probably aren't going to make any predictions, being you guys both are players in D1. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I won't, simply because I don't want anyone to. I don't want to motivate any of my opponents. I have respect for all of them.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Wish them all the best.
Yeah, I like that.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not gonna make a prediction. Not because I'm worried about motivating, but I honestly can see any of these teams coming out. Looking at these run differentials, looking at the scores of the different games, it seems like New Hope. You guys have Carmel's number. But at the same time, there's other teams that have other teams' numbers. So it's going to come down to matchups, I think. And ultimately, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I agree. I think it's going to come down to matchups, and it's going to come down to hitting. It's going to come down to who can hit the high ball, because there are, a number of high baller pitchers now. And it's going to come down to the team that can score seven or eight runs off of a high ball pitcher, and they're going to come out on top. So.
Yeah, and I just want to very clearly state, I don't want to motivate Carmel at all. I don't want to make it sound like we have their number. Yes, we're 2-0 against them this year, but they beat us both times last year and in the tournament, and they have our number, and they're awesome, and I wish them the best.
Well, I know who's got whose number, and that's Clint Lundeen versus everybody else. So
that's true.
I don't think he needs any motivation. So
yeah. Are we gonna talk about that perfect game he threw a couple of years back against our team?
I mentioned that on the last podcast, but I didn't know who it was against or anything. So if you want to fill people in, that would be great.
Yeah, that was Cross Point too. It was Lundeen's first year back off of his leave, if you will, his time away from allowing other teams to play into the championship round. But we played him as when I was a coach at Cross Point too. We had a very good team. We finished fourth place in Division One, so it wasn't like we were the team on the bottom getting waxed every game. We had beaten Grace Gospel just before that in a really tight game to get to the fourth, to fourth place. And then that game was to get into the top three, and we didn't get a lick. We didn't get a hit. We did not reach on an error. We did not walk. And of course, in slow pitch softball, there's no such thing as a hit by pitch. So we didn't even get the luxury of that. We got completely skunked. We had 13 batters, the top two in the order. We did have some very good hitters on that team. Two of us, of which are on Cross Point One now, and then you guys all know Jeff Wickland. He had filled in on our team that year as his wife did as well, as we had run into an issue with gals. So they actually were able to play the last four or five games with us and play in the tournament. Jeff was on that team. So we had good hitters. We had some hitters that have never faced Lundeen and some that had hit off him many times. And he had it going. The game before that, they lost to Carmel. on a different field. And I think that's a big part of it too, with his high ball pitching. It comes down to the wind and the field. Sometimes you're on a field, they're on a field where they're feeling it and the wind's in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And he was feeling it. He was not feeling it against Carmel. He wasn't throwing the pitch nearly as high. He hit walks and then he'd had to flatten it out a little bit. They hit him very well. I believe they scored 12 to 15 runs off of him. And, it wasn't 20 minutes later that he was on the field with us. And, I as my recollection, I could be wrong about this, but I'm usually pretty good about remembering this kind of thing. I do not think any ball was even hit to the outfield, even in the air on a catch. I think it was all ground outs. There was a couple, there was multiple strikeouts, but there was a couple infield ground outs to the pitcher, to first, to short. There were not even any plays, you guys, that were controversial slash exciting defensive gems. It was the most nondescript defensive game you could probably ever imagine. And Lundin, I gave him the scorebook later on. I'm sure he still has that. Perfect game in slow pitch softball. Doesn't happen very often. But the guy that we all figured would do it eventually, he did
Dark
do it.
Night. So.
Yeah, if we ever start a Damsel Hall of Fame, we should make sure that gets put in there.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that. That's wonderful. That's actually a good idea, Chris. We should start a Damsel Hall of Fame. That'd be kind of cool. I have a nominee for one of the first entries, and it's Denny Kriesel. We talk about the Dark Knight and Clint Lundin got his start. Oxlip, you guys know at Oxlip. And before Clint Lundin at Oxlip, the pitcher there was Denny Kriesel, and he threw the high ball back then. I remember he was the first high ball pitcher that I ever faced in the Damsel League. We're talking back in 2007, 2008, that era. And Kriesel had a nice sky ball. It's not on the level Lundin is. I don't think anybody has been. Matt Moline's pushing that. But Kriesel was there before Lundin, and I think that might have been something that motivated Lundin to push his limit to where he is too, seeing what Denny did over those years. Because Denny was fun. He was special, and he had multiple games with 5, 6, 7 strikeouts against us over the years. So hats off to Denny Kriesel, wherever he is.
Nice.
Yeah, he played in the league forever. I could be wrong, but I believe he played in the league for around 50 years.
Wow.
Or at least played church ball for that long.
That's cool.
Yeah, he definitely should be on the first ballot Hall of Fame if and when that happens, guys.
Yep.
We'll get working on that for sure. You guys ready to talk D2?
Let's do it.
All right,
absolutely.
So D2.
Let's go.
Another 8-team bracket, pretty clean bracket. Looks like the Salem Swamp Dogs are locked in as the number one seed with an 11-2 record. And then other top teams, First B, is in second at 9-4. They've won 5 straight, and I'll add that one of their 4 losses was a forfeit. They weren't able to reschedule a game. So they're a really solid team. And I saw they had a really close back-and-forth game with I believe it's your team, Ben, right? A couple weeks back, I was watching that.
Yeah, our team is the third team on the list there, North Isani 1. And been a very interesting year in D2. We're back in D2 this year, and a little nervous going back in. We lost a lot of our team from last year. It's kind of a turnover, numerous things. Two of my longtime guys actually go to church at First Baptist, and First Baptist hadn't had a team in D1 or 2 for a while, so they were playing with us, and they had one of them has a brother-in-law on our team and so forth, and so that was going good. But when they decided to fire up the team, they kind of both came to me and said, man, you got to go play with your church, you know. So they did that. And so there are a couple nice pieces on that squad, but on the flip side, we had to kind of regroup. And we actually brought up a young man by the name of Corbin. He helped coach my team this year when I could not be there. And he jumped right in. And so the beginning of the season was a little rough for us. So we've actually, interesting stat of our team, if we win against North Isani 2, which is going to be a great rivalry, if we win, we'll have beat everyone in D2. But on the flip side of that, as you see our record, we've also lost everybody except 2 of the teams. So, you know, a lot of that is based on who was there that night or whatever. But a lot of it is based on a very even league. If you look at the run differentials, the two outliers, well, I guess three outliers, Swamp Dogs on the top. Swamp Dogs have definitely been the most consistent team. The first time we played them, I was not there, but I was called by Peter Eastland, one of my longtime guys and very good friends. And he's been playing church softball at North Isani. He's the same age as me, 40. So since he was a youth, you know, 25 plus years. And like I said, we had many years in D1 together. He said it's the worst loss he's ever suffered at North Isani with the jersey on. So Swamp Dogs beat us, I believe, 35 to 10 or something that night. So incredibly talented team. They can play. Very consistent. They do have two losses on the ledger. Both of them have come in the last couple weeks. One of them was our squad. You know, don't know if we caught them on the right night or what. We got our my longtime pitcher, which is my brother-in-law. He's back, and you know, kind of like the Dark Knight, I guess, getting his four games in. And so that was something that the Swamp Dogs hadn't seen. So hopefully, we didn't give away all of our secrets before we get to the tournament, because they are definitely the clear-cut favorite. First Baptist, just touching on their squad a little bit. Very talented team, very strong. They've got the Gustafson brothers there, Pastor Gustafson and his brother Nate. They've got Gustafson kids, so you know, so the cousins, many of them. Their biggest problem, honestly, is they have too many people, and they'd be the first ones to tell you. A lot of their games are going into a 17, 18 players, and so it makes it tough if a couple of players are struggling or they you know, get robbed of a hit the first time through the order. It's tough for this squad to get through the order, but they've got 10, 11, 12 really strong, you know, D1 type players. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, it's probably going to come down to who comes to the tournament for them, right? I mean, if they've got 18 at the tournament, it's going to be tough, mm-hmm. but who knows, maybe they'll have, you know, 12 or 13, and they're a dangerous, dangerous team. I've got our squad. I don't want to go too in-depth on there, but we've won the last four, so we're on a roll. I call it the revenge tour here. We're beating everybody that beat us the first time around, and hopefully this Tuesday we complete that, and then we'll have beat everybody in the league. So, you know, so I'd say the top three, you definitely could do it. And then Refuge, you know, you look at the run differential. They've got a 64 run differential. Very strong team coached by Matt Acker, he's the father of Ryan Acker. Very strong pitcher. Matt is a very strong pitcher, the Wiley veteran, but he's got a lot of youth with him. So the rest of the squad, as I recall, is fairly young. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, these guys, you know, if they're tamed and ready, look like a lot of baseball players. So a lot of speed on the base paths, and you know, 7-6, it's been an up and down road for them, but a positive 64 run differential. So again, that tells me they're losing close games and winning the blowouts. So we'll see. South Isani going down to number 5. Man, they're dangerous. They're always dangerous. Incredible hitting team. They've got probably the fastest player in the league, in all three leagues, in their shortstop there, Jake. There, the guy can fly. So he had a ground ball to me. I remember a couple of years ago, I was playing first base, hit just a nice slow routine grounder to first. And I'm not slow. I'm not as fast as I used to be, but he beat me to the bag. So I was like, whoa, he can.
Dorman, just to jump in on South Isani real quick. We've had a number of games with them over the years, and when we're in our 4 or 5 years in D2 there, and they're always a fun team to play. They've had a lot of those same players together for years. That Salt Bay Sandy group, they're an experienced batch, and nice.
Yeah, nice fun team to play. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up, and a special shout-out to South Isani. So a lot of people don't know this. I'll give you a quick little history. So North Isani and South Isani were one church at one point back 150 years ago, a long, long time ago, and they had a split. So North and South are connected. South kept the pastor and moved south, and North kept the land and the church. And so, you know, we're really one, you know, one family. And with that, you know, they've got a gentleman by the name of Roger Boostrom. And Roger, for those of you who have not met him and you're listening to this podcast, you need to walk over and introduce yourself to him at the tournament. He's always got a Dodgers hat on. A lot of times he'll have a Dodgers coat on. But Roger is in his 80s. I mean, he's coming up on you know, I don't know exactly, Roger, and I apologize, but the man, he's still playing, and he's still hitting. He's still in the lineup. We had a couple of years ago a really cool thing happen. Our longtime pitcher, Vern Anderson, was playing for us, and he was about the same age as Roger, and Roger brought a scorebook from the last time South Isani had played North Isani. It was over 50 years ago of on the date, and he brought the scorebook from that game. Roger was hitting, I think, third in the lineup. Vern was leading off. It was unbelievable the longevity that those two had. Vern has since retired, but Roger still got it going. He still got it going. I don't know how many games he played this year, but the man is, I'm telling you, there's another. You know, there's another Hall of Fame possible candidate right there, Roger Boostrom on the South by Sandy. So
no, that's pretty neat. When you're talking, Jorman, about all that history and whatnot too, and you mentioned the teams there with the lineups, it brought me back. I remember when we did beat. I believe to this day, we Cross Point One is the only team to bat 14 players and win Division One. I believe. That has not been duplicated, and that is a huge challenge to win these tournaments. Mm. A lot of coaches wrestle with it and struggle with it. Do I bat my team? Yep. Do I sit somebody out? Do I sub people in? How do I do that? One of the challenges of the tournament, really, because you're dealing with a roster of potentially 15, 16 people trying to get through a season and have, you know, 10, 11, 12 at games on Tuesday nights, and now you get to the tournament and you got 14, 15 people showing up. I don't know if it'll ever happen again, but we did pull it off the first time we beat Lundin in the tournament, and then went on to beat the Faith in the finals. We batted 14 players, and that was special. We'll hold on to that. I'll hold on to that. I've batted 14, 15 players a lot of times on my team in Division II. We were never able to make a run and win the whole thing, but I think that's when a team can pull that off.
I don't think that'll ever be done.
And when a team can pull that off and get that done, there's a special asterisk that goes next to it. Team batted full lineup champions.
That's all I'm...
Yeah, and I don't think that'll ever, that'll ever be done in B1.
As you guys have been talking about that, I'm just thinking, gosh, I'm not going to be able to play this tournament, am I?
I might be sitting. No, I actually had that conversation last year, Chris, with our coach Blaine Cooper on our second team. I had stepped down from coaching, and I told Blaine flat out. I said, Blaine, I've got four games in. I referenced one or two others that I got four or five games in. I said, sit me down, sub me in, and bat me halftime. Whatever you need to do. If you feel called. Thankfully, we didn't have to do that because we actually ended up having two players unexpectedly not make the tournament. So it was a kind of a bugger that way of the circumstances. But, yeah, it's a tough conversation. It's a real conversation. I don't know the right answer all the time. I know Rick Evenson pulled the string, and hats off to Rick, longtime friend, longtime elder at Cross Point and the coach of our team back then, and then the pitcher, of course. Many of you guys know Rick, and he was I had told him about this podcast that we were doing, and he was excited about it. He was he said that was pretty cool that Chris is pulling this together with the damsel and everything. So hats off to you, Chris.
Thanks, man. Hey, appreciate it.
Jump in real quick, you guys, on the bottom end of D2. I don't want to leave all these guys out because, honestly, it's been an enjoyable season. You got Linwood Covenant on the bottom, you guys. Brand-new team in our league. They actually lost, I think, their first seven or eight, so they've actually won a couple out of their last five here, or out of their last six, anyway. So they've got some potential. Coached by Tim Olson. A lot of you guys know Tim. Grew up in Cambridge. Tim is the son of Lee Olson, longtime member and player at Carmel Covenant. So you got kind of a daughter church here in Linwood Covenant. So, you know, 2-11 this year, but who knows about the next year. We'll see. And then Cross Point 2 there. Next old team there on the bottom. Boy, this is the most confusing team to me in the league. You look at the record, 4-9. You look at the run differential, 118. You think, holy cow, they've been getting clobbered. But we just played them last week, you guys, and we had our whole squad there, and we were clicking on all cylinders, and I think we won like 12-5 or something. They're a solid team, very young. They're a team I can see over the future really getting it together. They were missing their pitcher and longtime coach there, Nick's good buddy there, Blaine Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
Was out with a major injury. Maybe you want to touch on that, Nick.
Yeah, I'd love to. Blaine's a longtime good friend of mine from Cross Point. We played together every year I've played in the Damsel. I've played with either Jordan Dibbig or Blaine Cooper. So when I've been on the top team, I've been with Jordan. When I haven't been, Blaine's been right by my side, and it's been an absolute pleasure to get to play with him. He took over as coach when I stepped down. Super, super unfortunate thing. I really feel for Blaine. Keep him in your prayers. He's going to have to likely have surgery on his rotator cuff. He injured that here just recently playing softball. And so this is probably going to be the end of Blaine's playing career. I don't want to say for sure, but for this year, he's done. So they've had some major change. We had a solid team in Division One a couple of years ago. We finished fourth after that perfect game. But we really had to make some changes. We lost last year and didn't do real well. We finished, lost in the toilet bowl to Ben's team. Got bumped down. Jade Cuddela took over as coach of D1 from our team, and then I stepped onto the D1 team as well. And Blaine, along with a few others, Adam Moore, Calvin Peterson, Julie Bombalier, all good friends of mine, longtime teammates. And then a couple others, some younger guys, like you mentioned, Isaac Finney, not to get all the way into the weeds on everybody here, but yeah, the talent there, Graham Peterson, Calvin's younger brother, they've got a lot of talent there. Jason Dissing is their coach.
They got to keep that squad together.
Good call. Jason Dissing is the coach. He stepped forward and was willing to do it. He's worked with the youth in the past. He was one of the youth coaches as of a year or two ago. And Jason has two boys that are both in their teenage years, just one of them just stepping out of the youth league, and one of them a couple years older, and they're both got a lot of potential as future players, strong Division II and definitely potential Division I players on that team. They just don't have the consistency yet, so you guys have all seen that with a lot of different teams where they're trying to pull it together, gain some consistency, and it's always hard when you lose your pitcher. Blaine was a very good pitcher, very consistent pitcher. And when you lose your pitcher, it kind of throws things out of a whack for a few weeks. So hopefully they're, able to figure that out on who's pitching and how they're pitching. And, yeah, maybe they can make a run in the tournament and knock somebody off. And I really hope that they can, like you said, Jorman, keep that team together, because there's a lot of fun potential there. So.
The two dark horses, I'm not going to leave them out, because if I did, it'd be fuel for the game this week, I know for sure. North Isani 2, so that's our second squad down there. They beat us the first time around. Again, I was not at that game, but boy, have I heard about it since. So these guys have been on me, they've been riding me, and this and that. So we're going to be ready to play this Tuesday. Shout out to anybody. I don't know if this podcast is going to go live before Tuesday, but we're going to have an all-church picnic, 6 o'clock. The barbecue will be out, brats, pork chops, etc. And it's going to be North 1, North 2. It's going to be for all the marbles. 8-5, 5-8. You can throw those records out. You got Luke Snell coming home. You got the prodigal.
Oh, Luke.
The prodigal son will be back in the mind. They're a dangerous team. Let me tell you about North Isani too. They're my dark horse in this bracket. 5-8. Don't be fooled by the record. They've got Keith Laska. He's kind of the coach.
I was just going to mention him.
Angelo Larson. Keith is a tremendous player, longtime town ball player for the Hinkley Knights. He's got two sons on the team. He's got Brian and Mr. Christopher. Brian and Christopher Laska, they can both play, they can both hit, they can both run. Very dangerous, as good as anybody in the league. So they got really a nice core with those three. I'm not going to go too deep on all the other ones. You guys know who you are. But basically that's kind of the leadership. And again, riding a tough streak here. They're 1-4. But man, when you got Luke Snell on the mound, it's a lot like a Matt Moline. You go into a tournament game and your pitcher's going to keep it close. The run differential, again, you guys, maybe I'm over exaggerating this, but I look at this run differential, -5 on a 5-8 team. that tells me they're losing a lot of close games. They've got a great run differential. They shouldn't be 5-8. So they're losing some close games. I don't know what that is. If it's clutch hitting, bad base running, just bad luck. Could be bad luck. Who knows? Our run differential is only positive 18. So we're only 23 runs higher in run differential. So that's a coin toss. You know, we got
a question for you, Jorman. Hey, Jorman, I got a question for you on that with the North Isani. So we haven't run into this with Crosspoint because our second team never moved ahead of our number one team. We did beat our number one team in the regular season a couple times, actually, but we never moved ahead of them. If North Isani 2 crosses you guys over in the tournament, do they get to claim the name of North Isani 1?
Good question. Actually, we had that come into play last year. So this North Isani 2 is actually the original North Isani 3 team. And they passed up our North Isani 2 team, created a lot of confusion. They were actually labeled as North Isani 3 last year, playing in D2. So they flipped. We flipped them. Thinking is once they've moved ahead in divisions is when that would change. If they beat us out this year, you know, if they finish a game ahead of us and neither of us moves up, then I think we keep it the same. But definitely if they we're one of the top two teams and all of a sudden they're moving up, yeah, I think they would earn that opportunity. We're not gonna hold that back from them. And I think, you know, it's kind of like I said with New Hope a few years ago when we beat New Hope and won the tournament a few years ago. I told each of the members of the New Hope squad, I said, I'm going to enjoy this. And they said, why are you going to enjoy it so much? I said, it's the last time I'm ever going to beat you guys. So I knew they were up and coming. I knew they were going to be jumping ahead of us and leapfrogging and all those things. And I see the same thing with this North Isani 2 team. They got a really young core.
Well, and you didn't know they were going to be taking two of your best players too, though, right?
Who's that now?
The Lesherdones.
Oh, the Lesherdones. The Lesherdones. No, so Lesherdones went to Oxlip first.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They were over to Oxlip for a while. Yeah. So yeah. So yeah, no hard feelings there. We loved our time. together. Good things must come to an end. So disappointed we never won a title with those guys. Three straight second place finishes, but had a good run. And Anthony Lesherdone, I know. Is tired of finishing second, so he's really pushing for. They were cool. My preseason. So you guys didn't want me to make a predict, or you guys didn't want to make a prediction in D1, but I'll do it. My preseason pick was New Hope. Looking at the standings here, you know, New Hope has kind of flopped in the past in the tournament. I'm not gonna go out on a limb and say they're gonna win it, but they were my preseason pick, and I haven't changed that. But tournament time is tournament time, so. If they got to step up their mental toughness to get to that next level, but I definitely think they've got the most talent. New Hope.
Appreciate it. So I'll make a prediction for Division 2 then. I am going to go out on a limb, and I guess I don't feel confident on who's going to win overall, but I have two dark horse teams that I'm going to throw out here. One's one you mentioned already, North Isani 2. And the other is going to be South Isani. North Isani, for the reasons you mentioned with the pitching, the Laskas, there was a great game the other night at Sandquist, right as before the lights went out, playoff atmosphere, tournament atmosphere, North Isani 2 versus Refuge 2. North Isani came back in the bottom of the last inning and won back-to-back hits from it was Brian Laska, and then Keith hit a double. Walk off to win the game. There might have been someone else in between them. Apologize if I'm forgetting exactly, but I know Brian was one of them, and then Keith. Great game, and I think they've got the intangibles to win. And then South Isani, they're always a tough playoff team, and Jake is one of the best players in any of the leagues, hands down. You mentioned he's probably the fastest player in all the three divisions. I would also add he's probably the quickest player in all three divisions, meaning he knows exactly what to do when he improvises. He's just an incredible player, and that's the kind of thing that really helps you in the tournament. So those are my two dark horses. I don't know if I feel strong about who's going to win it. But I'm going to go ahead and say pick the Swamp Dogs for two reasons. One is, I don't know the gentleman's name, but their shortstop is one of the best players that I've played against over the past few years.
True. Yeah, I know you're talking about. True story, you guys. I told this to Salem when I faced off. This year is the first year I've ever played against Salem. So we spent many years in D1. They were D2. They flipped the same year that we flipped down. They flipped back up the same year we flipped, you know, and vice versa. So this is the first time I ever played Salem. They're going to be my pick. I don't know the name of the shortstop, but he's a whale of a player. He can really play. Their whole team can hit. Swamp Dogs are my pick. But you know what, the last time we played the Swamp Dogs, we got them 18-10. So I'm not counting our squad out either. I know we're going to be there come Championship Sunday. We're going to perform. So we'll see. The Swamp Dogs, definitely though are my pick to go home with it, but we'll see if we can give them a run.
Do I get to make a pick or what? Come on now.
Of course. Yep.
All right. Good, good, good. Well, I'm not going to make a pick, but I am going to talk about the Swamp Dogs. Salem, Lutheran up there in Delbo. So our church, as many of you guys know, Delbo Baptist was the original church that became Cross Point. And so we've got a long history with the Salem Swamp Lutheran Church and the Swamp Dogs and the softball field. And I gotta say, I hope they've done something with their infield to try to maintain that and keep that going, because that field is just an absolute treasure up there. The location 100%. That's got there, it's everything that's right about the Damsel League, the fences, the trees, the short porch, the high fence. Just, it is what it is. Is it perfect? No.
How about the bugs?
The bugs are brutal. Mm-hmm. Is it a beautiful thing? Yes, but they got to do something with that infield. I hope they've done something. Maybe they have. It's been two or three years since I've been over there to play against them at that infield, but they got to do something with that infield to maintain that field, because it was turning into beach sand. You felt like you were running on the beach trying to get through that infield. But no, fun. They've always had good teams in the tournament, and of all the teams that haven't made their way into Division I and done much, they've probably dominated or won as many tournaments in the Division II, Division III level as anyone. So they always perform in tournament time. So if they're sitting atop the regular season, I got to go with the Swamp Dogs too, because they always come to play in the tournament.
Nice, nice. Good picks, you guys. I last thing I want to say on D2, and then we can turn the page if you're ready to, Chris, is I'm predicting there's going to be some upsets as well. I don't know who it's going to be, but this D2 has been very, let's use the word, volatile this year. The bottom teams have beat the top, and the top, you know, and so I can see, honestly, I can see, I don't know if I'm going to go on a limb and say Linwood's going to make it to Sunday. I don't know if I can go that far, but I can see anybody from 7 on up really making a run. And that's I'm predicting there's going to be an upset, a Cinderella story. So I hope it's not against our team, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to D2 as well. Should be a lot of fun.
Looking at Division 3, this is, again, as we mentioned, the only division with more than 8 teams. So there's 12. That means the top 4 teams are going to get byes. So currently locked in with a bye is Home Church at 12-1. The other Salem team, the Salem Saints, at 11-2. And it looks like the final two byes will be for Souls and Long Lake. They're both sitting there at 8-5. However, River of Life and Cross Point 3 are both one game behind at 7-6. So it's possible, depending on the game's shakeout, that they, you know, could make it into the top 4. Do you guys have any predictions or insight here on any of the D3 teams?
I don't know if Ben knows much about it outside of the North Isani team. We've got two Cross Point teams in here. I've got a lot of friends on both those teams. But again, you know, you're always playing on the same night that they're playing. Or if you can't make the game, you're not going to go watch their game. So I don't have a ton of insight on how the season's been playing out, other than to say that Adam Klinkner and his squad, I don't even know for sure if he's 3 or 4, but he's the coach. The guy is just an absolute fireball in terms of his energy, gets that team fired up, just to have fun. They're out there together as a band of brothers and sisters playing, you know, as unto the Lord, and hats off to Adam, because he's been done a great job, you know, stabilizing that team and getting a kind of a consistent, dependable group week in and week out. I know they made a nice run last year and got close in the tournament. I don't know if they're quite there yet. I know they do have, as a lot of these teams in D3 have, a lot of players, you know, and I think that sometimes that's unfortunately what it comes down to in D3 is who's got the fewest amount of players, and you know, if you can have a lineup of 12, 13, 14 versus, you know, 15, 16, it does make it easier. I see Souls on there with our good friend Wilbur, a longtime Wilbur Hannon. Some of you guys know Wilbur. He was with Crosspoint One the last time they won the championship. You know, he was right there in the middle of all the fun. Longtime friend, longtime, you know, like I say, player in this league. Hopefully he's doing well. Shout out to Wilbur with Souls there. He's playing with the Souls Church. I see River of Life on there, the Bakers, good friends of ours. I know they've got a fun team. I don't know a ton of insight about Home Church. But again, when I see a Salem team towards the top of the standings in D2 or D3, they've just got too much history, you guys. When the Salem team show up to the tournament, they come to play, and they really do. They do put it out there. They're diving into bases. They put it out there. I mean, those orange jerseys, you can see them. They're not orange by the end of the tournament. They're stained up pretty good because they take this tournament serious. So they're a huge staple.
They play the game the right way. Yeah, they play the game the right way, those guys.
Yep, that's good to hear, because they're a huge part of the league. When you think of Damsel, you know, the first letter in Damsel is Dalbo, stands for Dalbo, and they are the only church in Dalbo right now. Mm-hmm. So hats off to them. That's where I'm staking my pick again here for D3, right after I did for D2. I'm going with the Salem squad, because they always seem to overperform in the tournament. So if their season was good, they're going to be tough to beat, I think. But it would be fun to see Crosspoint, either one of the Crosspoint teams, make a run. Hats off to everybody. Everybody doing their thing over there. But
Interesting to look at the bottom of the division, and what jumps out at me is that was right where I was going. So this division last year had the championship game was, I believe, 9 versus 8 seeds, somewhere along that lines. So very unpredictable. And my eyes go right to Dale there. So quick story about Dale. Jeff Wickland. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this podcast and you're playing D3 and you're not walking Jeff Wickland when the game's on the line, you're going to lose. So this was our coach last year at North Isani. He came over to me. He said, can we legally walk a guy? I said, yep, you can point, you can throw it outside, you can do whatever. And the next time up, he came up. The game was on the line, up by, I believe North was up by 2 at the time, bases loaded, and Jeff proceeded to hit one into the trees or onto the road or wherever it was for a go-ahead bomb. So he, I think, in that game had either 3 or 4 home runs. And so that just scares me, you guys. A lot of the D3 guys don't know how to walk people. They don't know how to throw an intentional ball or whatever. You know, Jeff, I'm not saying this so that they do it on purpose, buddy, but that scares me. I'm gonna go with Dale. I'm gonna go with Dale as my pick to be there on Sunday. But I like Salem and I like Home Church. Looking at the scores here, Home Church actually beat Salem by 1 in the regular season. And you look at that run differential, Home Church, they got Jared, is their coach over there. I believe Bill Bushway is still chucking it from the mound.
Oh, Bill.
So they got big Bill Bushway on the mound.
Elam Baptist.
Loss, man. It's hard. The old Elam Baptist, big Bill.
They started off as the old New Hope 2 team.
Okay.
I don't know how many of them are left from there, but that's kind of where the origins of that team.
Gotcha. But I will say this, North Isani 3, I know them, like Nick mentioned, with his Crosspoint teams, I know them as good as any. Josh Zeeland and his squad down there, nobody plays the game harder than those guys. They beat River of Life, I believe, 2 weeks ago. So they're dangerous. I don't know. I'm not going to pick them to be there on Sunday, but I can. I believe they can win a few. That middle of the pack, that's a coin toss, you guys. One thing about D2 that's different than D, or excuse me, D3 that's different than D2 and D1. D2 and D1, with the size of the league, 8 teams, you play all 7 teams twice. It's nice and clean. You kind of see where you stack up. The D3 is lopsided, so some of these guys will play each other twice, but a lot of them have only played each other once. So the schedule may not reflect totally, you know, that refuge team might have had a tougher schedule than, let's say, Long Lake Lutheran, you know, and that's the difference between a 3 seed and an 8 seed. That's one game. That's a game and a half difference. So that's not much margin. Refuge was there on day 2 last year. They were there on Sunday. So I'm not betting against those guys. I'm going right to 8 and 9. I'm looking at those teams. The Ball Hawks, man, they always come to play, you know. I'm not sure, you know, what Long Lake Lutheran looks like. Sorry, Long Lake, but, you know, they're 4-1, so they're winning the games, too.
Is Coach Sherbon still there, Jamie Sherbon? He's a longtime
friend. I'm not sure if Coach Sherbon is there. I heard, he was over at Cambridge Lutheran going to church, but I'm not sure if he's still, still coaching the team over there. But I'm going to make an uneducated pick, guys. I'm going to make an uneducated pick. I think the teams in D3 have wised up to Dale. I think that if it is a championship situation, they're going to be very careful with some dangerous hitters there. And I'm going to go with Bill Bushway. I'm going to go with Bill Bushway and the home church guys. Jared over there, he's a gamer. Those guys come to play. They play hard. One thing you mentioned earlier is keeping your lineup. Nobody shrinks the lineup and subs his players quite like Jared does and keeps the peace. A lot of times he'll hit 10 and he'll have two people that'll sub in, you know, mid-game. He's a very good coach in terms of how to win the games and maximize from his players. They've done it before. They're going to do it again. I got home church.
That's a good pick. I'm also going to go, actually, my pick's going to be Souls.
Ooh, nice.
Reason I'm picking them, 2 years ago, the home church and Souls were in D3, played for the championship. Souls won, close game. So I know they're a good team. And I heard you guys say that Wilbur from Cross Point 1 joined them. And that might be enough to kind of put them over the edge here. Yeah. And I just, quick story, I watched that game 2 years ago, home church versus Souls. I just got to say that epitomizes what Damsel is all about. The best sportsmanship I've ever seen on both sides. They were just the entire game, you know, respectful, courteous towards each other. And then after the game was over, they were all hanging out, talking, congratulating each other, saying it was an honor to play against you. Both sides seem like just this. Like I said, that's what it's all about.
Amen.
So yeah, I'm gonna go with Souls.
Chris, I was just gonna say I echo your comments. I have never played against Souls, but I ran into those guys at Culver's. I believe it was probably the same year that you're talking that they won it. I ran into those guys at Culver's after
Babs, right? Games, Coach Babs,
more excited bunch. That was Eric Babb. Eric Babb. Those guys were fired up to order burgers at Culver's. And, boy, it was contagious. They were excited, and it carried right onto the field. I will say this, out of the 28 teams, nobody has more fun and excitement on the sideline, or on the sidelines than Souls. So those guys, if that translates into a W, I'm going to go with home church. I'm actually going to go with home church. I believe Souls. Inside baseball information from Wilbur. I believe they lost a couple of their key guys from last year's team, but maybe those key guys got their 4 games in, and maybe they'll show up like the Dark Knight and sort in to save the day. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool. No, all that's right. Cool. What about this this team, One Accord? I know it looks like they've had a tough year. Who are they? What can you guys tell us?
That's
about
a Catholic. That's a Catholic church.
Okay.
It's the Catholic Church. They've kind of come together. It's the Cambridge, and I believe it's the Cambridge and Isani Catholic Church combined. I believe the pastor over there, the way I understand it, is he goes back and forth. The priest, excuse me, goes back and forth each Sunday. So there's actually some Sundays where they don't have a service in Isani and they have it in Cambridge. I'm not sure if it's, you know, one night they're you know, like a Saturday night and then Cambridge, and then that Sunday they go to Isani. I'm not sure the details on that, but I know they've come together to kind of create this one accord. Had a tough season on the field, but you know, only 108 run differential. You've been outscored by, you know, you've lost 11 in the negative column, so they're only losing nine runs a game on average. So it's not as bad as it initially looks. So
yep.
Who knows? That D3 is anybody's game, you guys. They come to play and one hot stick, and you know, that D3 is wide open, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be fun. And then, like we mentioned, that four teams get a bye the first round in this. And the other games, they all appear to be Friday night at 6 p.m. And again, check the website for the actual bracket when it comes out here later this week.
One thing to jump in here quick, Chris, too. One thing, as Ben mentioned, with D3 being a bigger division, one thing to think about with that is once they do, a team does lose, it's a long road back, whereas you're looking at D1, D2, it's definitely more possible. You don't have to beat nearly as many teams to get into that final. But if you lose one of those first round games in D3, you better sign up for a real long day on Saturday, mm-hmm. or you're not going to make it, because, boy, to get through a 12-team tournament to fight back after a game one loss is going to be tough. So your dark horses are going to need to get through that first one.
All right, guys, any final thoughts?
Yeah, good point.
You guys have any final thoughts
for me? Final thoughts for me, Chris. Thanks for having us on again. This was an absolute pleasure. I've listened to your podcast the last couple months as you've been getting this thing going. It's exciting to hear what you got going for the local leagues here, the Damsel, the Men's League, and everything else going on. Excited again for this tournament. Again, I haven't been at every game this year. Wish I can make to more, but my boys are both playing baseball pretty heavy on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights. So I'm busy with that. But as far as this tournament goes, I'm excited. Excited to see Clint Lundin back again this year. You know, it'll be fun. I'm also excited to see this Refuge team and what they can turn themselves into. New Hope is on the rise. Carmel is always there, and especially with again with their pitcher Matt improving his game, he's kind of taken his team to a different level in terms of the Lundin way of winning games over there. And of course, Crosspoint One, everybody knows the history there with the hitting and the defense. And Bobby will have his A game on. Anybody that knows our younger brother Bobby, when the lights are on, he's gonna go hard. He's gonna put his best foot forward, and so this will be fun because again, it is anybody's game in those top five. I think, 6, 7, and 8 could scare somebody with a win or two. I think, definitely. But as far as the championship, I think it's gonna be one of those five, but it really could be any of the five. And it'll be fun to see. It'll be fun to see people try to hit that high ball. Fun to see people. Playing defense the way that you need to win the final. And of course, you know, in D1, as you guys know, it always comes down to that pitching. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That's my final thoughts. And my other final thought is it's always exciting to be able to go out to the complex at this tournament, watch other teams from your church, watch other teams, friends from the league. Again, we don't get to watch other games on Tuesday nights because we all play the same time or roughly the same time. So it's fun. It's an enjoyable time. It's a family event. It's, you know, you turn your kids loose and let them run around. And, you know, my kids know just as many people as I do out there. So it's fun. And see Jorman's team out there, give them a hard time. Hopefully they can pull through and they in the D2 tournament, and we can see them back in D1 next year.
Yeah. Closing thoughts, Chris, from myself, looking forward to this tournament. This is our second go at D2. The first time was 2 years ago when we took the title. We also came in as an underdog there. Well, number two seed, I guess, and ended up claiming the title that day. That was with Vern Anderson, who was 78 years old at the time, and that was fun to win it with him and get back into D1. I don't know if I'm as excited to get into back into D1 as Nick is for us to get back into D1, but this is a different squad. We're coming into this with a different animal. We lost our five best outfielders from last year's team. We're a lot slower in the outfield. Well, for one, I'm back in the outfield, so that tells you all you need to know there. So if this team that I'm going to be coaching and playing on does win, it'll definitely be more of an accomplishment than it was with the last squad that was D2, but equally as exciting. Looking forward to it. It's all going to come down, you know, somebody's going to have to beat Salem. That's going to be the key. It doesn't necessarily have to be us. If somebody else knocks them off, and like Nick said, knocks somebody in the loser's bracket, that could open things up. But along with D2, looking forward to seeing D3 with our North Isani guys, of course, too, and Laska and those guys in D2. But ultimately, you know, I'm a fan of the game. I'm a fan of the game as much as I am, want to win. And I'm looking forward to that Division 1 tournament. I think in the years that we've been involved, I haven't seen a tournament where you can go in and you literally can say, I could see any of these five going home with it. But when the dust settles, when everything is down to the end, I am going to make a prediction. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to. I got nothing really to lose on the deal. So I'm going to make a prediction in D1. It's going to be the Dark Knight in the championship on Sunday with The Rock. It doesn't matter if his players have two legs or one. He'll have them in there. They'll be in the championship. And my brother Bobby Wilson, my youngest baby brother there, 6 years my junior. Everybody thinks he's about 10 years older because he's got that nice full beard. But he'll be there as well. Couple competitors. They'll both be there. Of course, Nick's added a lot. He'll understate it, but he's going to add a lot to the tournament team too, as far as the leadership, the coaching, and the stick as well too. So it's going to be those two teams come Sunday. And you know what? I'm not going to make a prediction from there. I'm just going to say it's going to be those two on Sunday, and we'll just have to wait, enjoy. Hopefully I'll have the trophy in my hand as one of the commissioners that'll be able to hand that trophy off, and hopefully it'll stay in the family. But we will see come Sunday, Chris, and I'm not going to bet against your New Hope guys, of course, either. They were my preseason pick to make the jump this year in D1. So just super excited, Chris. Thanks for having us on this podcast. Really an honor and a privilege to be a part of the first ever Damsel podcast here. Yes. And hope it's not the last. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it certainly won't be. In a little history here, too. Let the record show you guys were the first two guests ever.
Wonderful.
On a podcast. Wow. So that's great.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. What an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I look forward to the tournament, and I'll see you guys next weekend.
Thanks, Chris.